you know, it's just the four people. And any hype can just get in the way of the music. The music's important. You know, this interview, you know, we wanted to do this interview because we felt we hadn't been here before. The people don't know us, and we're scared about the interviews that they've heard or the impression they may have of us. And I suppose the reason we agreed to do this interview, and we don't do many interviews, is to show people in some ways how anything we are. We're just jerks like everybody else. We're just, you know, no manifesto. There's nothing to lay on people other than the music. That's what it's all about.
That speaks better than, you know, words and language is so inadequate, you know, to express some things. I think music is far better suited, especially when it comes to emotions and feelings. You know, you can't articulate them. You can't really communicate them verbally, but I think through music it is possible sometimes to express the inexpressible, to actually, you know, people can see what you're trying to say without having to express it in words.
Music should break down barriers rather than build them, you know. And there were so many factions amongst people at that point, you know. People were, it was uniformed. I felt it was very conservative. I'm not into uniforms, like, you know, the suit and the tie bit that they were knocking, you know, people were knocking. Well, they were replacing it with similar uniforms, be it, you know, I'm into this type of music, I listen to the, you know, I dance this way, I dress this way. I forget that, you know. Our music's about the individual.
Right! Successful in Dublin, we had something really unique, you know. It wasn't a rehash of half a dozen other major acts that were going around at that stage. It was something that nobody had heard before. So when Island Records came to Dublin to see us, that's the thing that really blew them away, was that there was this band and they didn't sound like anyone else.
Right. Yeah, don't, you know, people shouldn't try and copy us. Sometimes people can say, yeah, we've learned to play some of your songs, Bono. I say, forget about us, you know, play your own songs.
Right.
And I say, but I've nothing to say, I said, well, say that. Tell me, you've nothing to say, that's a song.
Come with me, follow me here. In Countdown and arriving in Countdown have been all of these petitions wanting to either, please, let's meet you two, please, can we get tickets to the concert? And the reason, of course, has been that with these fantastic albums, U2, October, which I think is a sensational album, War, the U2 War album, and, of course, Live Under a Blood Red Sky, they have been causing the most incredible scenes, as I said before, in Sydney. Everyone is just simply raving about the concert. As I said, it's hard to put into words, but to meet and interview these guys has been some just rare experience for me. Enough from me now. It's back to you two. And from... I've got to tell you one thing. I've heard the new album called The Unforgettable Fire. If you think these albums are good, wait till you hear that album. Of course, the first track of that is Pride. We're showing that in the show later, but back to you two.
I think that the point about the audience here is that although we haven't been here before, we appear to be established here. We've sold out all these shows here, and I think the great thing about that is that although we haven't met the people out there until we'd arrived, there was no inhibition.
Right.
It was basically, these are the guys, they've come here, and, you know, we're not going to put them on a test.
Right.
We know they're good, and we're going to enjoy it. And that was a great warmth.
I mean, as well as that, we've got all the other cities to see.
Right.
Where are you from?
Melbourne.
We hear a lot of good things about Melbourne.
Well, let's judge for yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, going back to the record side of things,
this man's a different man.
And now, for the first time on Australian television, the brand new U2 single Pride from the Unforgettable Fire album due out this month.
Bono or Larry, either one, can you tell us how the name U2 actually came about and what it all means?
I think it was just that we wanted a name that didn't mean anything, you know.
So there's no meaning?
It's just a letter and a number. Very simple. Whatever country you are in the world, it's just the letter U and the number 2.
8 years together, 6 years solidly on the road, and still together the same lineup. That's a little bit strange for this day and age. What is the secret of your staying together?
We're not really together. We're not really together.
You sound it.
But we're, yeah, I suppose it's a friendship, the chemistry between the group. We're quite disorganized at times. That's what I meant by untogether. But it's the people come first. You know, the music comes out of the people. That's what starts it. We weren't musicians when we started. We became musicians after we formed the band.
Right.
Which I think is probably a little arrogant, considering, you know, that, you know, we're just four kids. We're going nowhere. We just decided to go there together.
A lot of bands that come out of Ireland and or Scotland tend to move away. Do you still base yourselves in your home country, Ireland?
We live in Dublin.
Yeah,
we made a decision very early on that we sort of stay away from the circus.
Right.
And like just stay, keep away from what was happening in London, just not become part of that. It meant that we could be creative on our own. We didn't get influenced by what was happening around us, we just stayed ourselves.
It's a retreat in some ways for you too, because, you know, we come back and we're reminded exactly who we are and where we've come from.
Exactly.
And nobody gets a chance to get above themselves in Dublin, I can tell you that straight away. You're brought right down to earth.
In your earlier days working in that area, I mean, with the problems that are in that country, did you have problems in any gigs? Was there a night where you had a bomb scare or something that you...
Well, you know, one of the most shocking effects of the troubles in Northern Ireland on me, I speak from my own point of view, was that it didn't affect me at all. And that really is the shock, because, you know, you grow up in a country where 50 miles up the road there are people being murdered and cut down for no reason. You know, they call it religious war, they call it political war. It's just, there's no description of it. And it's just brother versus brother, sister versus sister. And it didn't affect me. I was completely immune to it. And it was only, in fact, coming back from America, from touring there, or coming back from Europe, actually started to dawn on me about this is the place where we live. And what's going on here? Because you would go to another country and they would ask you, you know, what's happening, just like the way you are now.
Yeah.
So it made you think, what is happening?
So do you think you actually get the message across to your audiences, or do you think maybe, you know, they're bopping along to the music and you lose that message in the music?
Well, I think, you know, there's many different levels to which people appreciate our music. I think some people may come along just for the blast of it all, for the uplifting response that is part of a U2 concert. And yet I think the most people, I have a great deal of respect for our audience. I think they're very intelligent people. I think they know what's going down. They know what separates this group from a lot of the other groups, that we're not just singing I Love You Love, Baby True Love over and over again. The needle isn't stuck on this record. We're trying to move on. We're trying to push out, writing about everything that affects us, everything and anything. There's no rules in this group. If there are rules, we try and throw them out.
Okay. Larry, do you think other bands should be more involved with putting political or social comment in their songs, or do you think that...
I don't think you can say it. I think music is music, you know, no matter where. You can't knock other bands for what they do. I mean, Culture Club are as relevant as U2 because they make people happy, and that's fair enough. So I mean, it just depends on how the individuals in the band feel. We're not good at pretending. We're not good at sort of singing I Love You Love, you know. We're much better at actually
being
saying something and that's the way we feel. It's not as if we made a decision,
right,
let's be a political band, because it's politics of people, not the politics of
a touch of honesty actually becoming
We're not a political band. It's very important. And we wrote a few songs on our last record, War, because there was so much mush on the radio, we just figured we've got to make some strong statements. We've just got to separate. Music can be much more than just wallpaper music, as John Lennon used to call it. And now, in some ways, people expect that from us. And our new record, The Unforgettable Fire, the new LP, I think when you hear this, I think they'll realize that there's a lot more to the group than that. We're much more interested in people and politics, just like what Larry said.
So you go another direction on this new album?
Yes.
You have a new producer, in fact, two producers, because there's co-production.
That's right.
Brian Who is the Eno. Second guy?
Brian Eno worked with a guy called Daniel Lanois.
Right.
He's a French-Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very inspired musician. He was producer of the year in Canada, and but unknown to, I think, the rest of the world. He worked with Brian Eno in his production of the Apollo record, when NASA commissioned Brian Eno to do the music for the Apollo missions. They're putting out a film, and they've been working together for a few years, and then they came together to work with us.
Has it changed your sound a whole lot, do you think, Les?
It's given it a different dimension. It's not really changed a sound. We never really had a sound, but it's hard to explain exactly what it's done, because, you know, I think we're a little bit surprised at the record ourselves. We're really a little bit not unsure about it musically or whatever. We're just unsure about where it's going, what direction it's taking, because, you know.
It's you anyway.
It's you too.
And you'll certainly be there when you find that direction, and it'll move on again, I guess.
We don't know where the hell we're going. We just enjoy going there.
Okay. Bono, Larry, it's been a pleasure to talk to both of you. Thank you very much for being on Sounds.
Apollo. There's a new album from U2 just been released. It's called The Unforgettable Fire. There's also a half-hour documentary about the making of that album.
Started becoming successful in Dublin. We had something really unique. You know, it wasn't a rehash of half a dozen other major acts that were going around at that stage. It was something that nobody had heard before. So when Island Records came to Dublin to see us, that's the thing that really blew them away, was that there was this band and they didn't sound like anyone else.
Right. Yeah, don't, you know, people just shouldn't try and copy us. Sometimes people come up and say, you know,
yeah,
we've learned to play some of your songs, Bono. I say, forget about us, you know, play your own songs.
Right.
And they say, but I've nothing to say, I don't know. I said, well, say that. Tell me you've nothing to say, that's a song. I had always felt that music should break down barriers rather than build them, you know. And there were so many factions amongst people at that point, you know. It was uniformed. I felt it was very conservative. I'm not into uniforms, like, you know, the suit and the tie bit that they were knocking, you know, people were knocking. Well, they were replacing it with similar uniforms, be it, you know, I'm into this type of music, I listen to this, you know, I dance this way, I dress this way. I thought, forget that, you know. Our music's about the individual. You know, what we have as a group, you know, is just the four people. And any hype that can just get in the way of the music. The music's important. You know, this interview, you know, we wanted to do this interview because we felt we hadn't been here before. The people don't know us, and we're scared about the interviews that they've heard or the impression they may have of us. And I suppose the reason we agreed to do this interview, and we don't do many interviews, is to show people in some ways how anything we are. We're just jerks like everybody else. We're just, you know, no manifesto. We've nothing to lay on people other than the music. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
That speaks better than, you know, words and language is so inadequate, you know, to express some things. I think music is far better suited, especially when it comes to emotions and feelings. You know, you can't articulate them. You can't really communicate them verbally. But I think through music, it is possible sometimes to express the inexpressible, to actually, you know, people can see what you're trying to say without having to express it in words.
We wrote the Sunday Bloody Sunday as, you know, the rebel song to end all rebel songs.
Did you write it in anger?
Yeah, we wrote it in anger, actually. It says, how long must we sing this song?
I realised the lyrics, it actually says... When you actually sat down, were you angry or...?
Well, it actually says, let this be the last song we write in some ways. I don't know if it is, but that was, I think, the kind of approach.
I think by that stage of what we'd been doing, which was we'd done the two albums, we'd done a lot of touring, and inevitably that issue came up, and I think perhaps we felt we had to deal with it and think about it in a way, because up to that point, when you come from a country which has that sort of thing going on, you do kind of tend to sort of try and forget about it rather than emphasize it. So we decided we had to really start thinking about it and have a responsibility to show people what we thought. I think at the time when we were examining everything that was going on, we did become angry. I think we were angry because of the frustration of the situation, the fact that people's lives are being messed up by people being killed or maimed through no fault of their own, and that there's no struggle that actually justifies that. And there are easier ways of solving those problems.
And also because in the US there was a lot of money was coming from the US to Ireland to support the men of violence on both sides of the fence. And our attitude was, you know, there's no glory to this. There's no glory. And I say to people here in Australia that, you know, we're sending money over. There are places, sure, where your money would be appreciated. Not the men of violence. We don't need money for bombs in the country. And that's what it was. We played it on stage in America. It was at the height of the hunger strike. You know, Bobby Sands was dying. And, you know, Bobby Sands, you know, he deserves respect. A man that was a very courageous man. Right. And yet, I just don't see any reason for why he should die for that, for that cause. He shouldn't have taken it to that limit. And we were angry as we walked on stages in America. And I remember stages where they were throwing money on the stage. Mm. You know, they were yelling out, you know, Bobby Sands. I said, yeah, sure, Bobby Sands, but just keep your money to yourself. This is not the way. That's why we sang the song. But now when we sing it in a celebratory way. It's not a downer, it's up. It's upper. And the song's not just about Northern Ireland, it's about any political situation. It says, move over, there's more things. There's more things to be talking about.
But, you know, you do achieve that more than perhaps anyone can.
The last lines to Sunday Bloody Sunday are, and it's true, we are immune.
Right.
When fact is fiction and TV reality. And today the millions cry, we eat and drink while tomorrow they die. I was trying to make the point, maybe it's oversimplification, but while we're fighting over territorial borders, while we're fighting over religion, that there's other people out there that there's no food in their bellies. This is the real battle. Forget about this.
Right.
You know, this is probably getting, you know, see, we don't talk about this very often, by the way.
Well,
must be the hat. Hats have a real funny effect on me. I'm a man who appreciates a hat.